keep yourself in the loop of everything football. Listen to Alex and Jeremiah on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Hello there, I'm Jeremiah.
I am Alex, always and forever here.
Dedicated to college and NFL football. The latest football news on and off the field. NFL draft trade rumors. We've got you covered from the NFL, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, and everything else in between. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we discuss the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football from the latest science issues, breakout stars, and all news in between. As always, I'm Jeremiah.
And I'm Alex.
And I'm Anthony.
How are you guys doing today?
I am doing
fantastic.
Cool.
Swell.
Swell?
Yeah. Hey, how have you been, Anthony? How was your week?
I've been fantastic.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We haven't seen you.
That's true. There's that.
It's been a while.
Yeah, you were just saying that you went to No Mercy here in Sacramento at the new arena.
I did. I dressed up as Ric Flair, said woo 1,000 times. I have a lot of I have a healthy respect now for, like, celebrities in general.
That always have to do their thing.
Dude, like, that's the thing. Like Ric Flair, it was fun being, like, a day of Ric Flair because, like, you get to, like, take a bunch of pictures and do the woo chants a bunch, and that was fun. For actually Ric Flair, like, that's every day.
That's kind of his thing.
That's his thing,
like,
though.
He just walks around the airport and just, like, woo! Like, it's for every time. Like, it's one of those things, like, it's got to be, it'll be fun day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like, even up to day, like, 30.
That's his persona, man.
But, like, day 31, like, the next month, it's like, all right, I get it. Yes, woo. All right, fantastic. Thank you. Love, all right,
he loves it,
all right,
though.
Cool.
He loves it.
So that's your Halloween costume?
Oh, for sure, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
I decided to be the legendary Ken Bone for Halloween.
And let's take a break and see exactly how many of you know who that is.
If you don't know who that is
by
now,
name.
If you don't know who that is by now, do some research, folks.
Think about it. The group of people that know who that is mainly based off of the age group of people who are on Twitter, because he has been made into a folklore joke hero like Harambe, which is the same subcategory of age group. You know, 18 or teen to like 35.
I kind of think that's our audience though, too.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying if it wasn't for being on Twitter, when I'm very casually on Twitter.
I'm always on Twitter.
Exactly. So you and I are completely different in that sense. I'm barely on Twitter. And I still know who he is only because of Twitter. I was like, who's this Peter Griffin looking guy? Why, you know?
No, he's the toy collector from Toy Story, too. I think he looks more like that guy.
No way.
Really?
He looks like Peter Griffin.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, like the guy's a folk, like, lore legend now for doing nothing. What it is people make fun of people. You know, I'm sure somebody made some joke and then somebody turned it around because people like to, you know, then become the catalyst and the champion of others, you know, online also now. It's turning around in the other way. And then they made it a good thing. So, yes, he does look a lot like Al from Al's Toy Barn. But I also think he looks like Peter Griffin a little bit.
No.
He's got more hair than Al from Al's Toy
Okay,
Barn.
That may be true. But come on, he does not look like Peter. Peter Griffin has nothing on my man Ken Bone there, man. He has nothing on him.
Well, anyways, I'm sure you're going to love dressing up as him.
I don't know if I'm.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I don't know if I'm actually really going to do that because I feel like by the time Halloween hits around, I have to explain it to a whole lot of people. And like you said, only a group of people know who he really is. So I might have to do a lot of explaining. That's not really fun in Halloween. I feel like people should know who you are based on how you look like. Because, for example, a couple years ago, this is before the Deadpool movie came out, I dressed up as Deadpool. I just had the mask because I'm not putting on the whole suit. That's just stupid.
That's not stupid.
Well, it is not, but for
That's
me.
What Halloween's about.
Yeah, wait, hold on.
But
no.
for me, it was. I didn't have the body to wear that whole, like, latex suit. So oh, well, whatever. So I just had the shirt, and then I had the mask, which was really hot.
Yep.
And no one really knew who I was. They're like, oh, you're Spider-Man. I'm like, no.
No. Even though they do look alike.
No, and to be fair, they kind of do.
Their basis was similar.
So to be fair, they are. And then there's like this group of people, and they're like, hey, you're Deadpool. I was like, yeah, finally someone knows who I am. Yeah. See, I was happy.
I get what you mean about having to explain your costume. That's why my costumes are always it's not needed to explain. People get it.
Who are you going to dress up as?
Don't know.
Don't know?
Don't know yet.
All right.
Don't know. But it'll be awesome, and I'll let you know about it. Yesterday, I wore a Lego mask at Target, like a legitimate one. Like, I look like a full-on Lego person. It was clearly a child's costume, so my chin was visible, which was weird because you got this yellow face on, and then I got a bearded chin under that. But otherwise, yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'm not too worried about it. I'm sure we'll get there. Not Ken Bone, if that's what you're wondering.
What do you mean, Ken Bone?
Not going to be him.
Not going to be? Okay.
You know who I'm sure maybe – actually, you know what? You know what I'm sure is probably going to be a good – as in not good, probably bad, but a –
Popular
Halloween costume this year?
It's Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, because of the fro, man. And
because people are going to put his jersey on, put a fake fro on, and just kneel all over the place.
Then kneel when you go trick-or-treating?
Yeah, they're going to open the door, and he's going to be kneeling there. And I bet you some people will get upset about it, too.
No, some people will. Yeah. And speaking of Colin Kaepernick, he has been officially named the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers this Sunday for the Buffalo Bills. Against the Buffalo Bills game, and you're clearly not a fan, Alex.
No, so we talked about this. Anthony knows where I stand on this. You said they can only get so much. How much worse can it get? Well, this offense is 31st in the league. That's not all on Blaine Gabbert. Yes, Blaine Gabbert has been arguably the third worst quarterback in the league, second worst quarterback in the league. Some people consider him the worst quarterback in the league in the last 5 weeks. Yes, he's been bad. But the offense as a general offense has been bad. They are 31st overall. He has more interceptions than he does touchdowns. That's understandable. But as I've told you before, and as I mentioned in the sports show, this offense is not suited for Kaepernick. Yes, he is fast. Yes, he is athletic. But Chip Kelly's offenses are based off of accuracy, which Kaepernick does not have. He's not a great accurate quarterback. Neither is Gabbert. That happens. But it is also based on quick reads, which Kaepernick has shown he cannot, or at least has not gotten better at doing. You know, he missed a wide open receiver on a goal line last year against the Rams. It's not like he was wide open at one point and then they got covered. Nobody ever went over to him. You know, Kaepernick on his own could have done something and just thrown it to him. He doesn't have good eyes for reads. You know, we saw that last year with, you know, three interceptions against the Cardinals, two pick sixes, where your eyes need to be really good on that side of the field where you have very short field behind you, two pick sixes. We saw him throw numerous interceptions last year because of it. He chooses to run instead of complete his reads. You know, he doesn't trust his ability to do so. So it's not like this offense is made for him. Yes, he's quick. He can run a read option. But for the passing game, you know, there's a reason besides the injury that he hasn't become the starter yet. You know, and is that because Gabbert's outplaying him, which means, yeah, it's going to get worse then, because if there's a sense that he can't run this offense as, quote-unquote, well as Gabbert has, yeah, there's plenty of room for it to get worse. Believe me.
Yeah, and it's one of those things of you talk about, you know, if you want to look at the positive side with Colin Kaepernick, it's one of those things of like, oh, well, you know, Chip Kelly's had the running quarterback before. He had the running quarterback in Oregon.
And Mariota's very accurate. He's got a strong arm, and he was very good at reading defenses.
He can do more than run. He can actually throw it.
Exactly, yeah.
But when he's gotten to the NFL, he's had Nick Foles, Sam Bradford, Mark Sanchez. Yeah, he had Michael Vick for a little bit, but it was mostly those three quarterbacks who aren't mobile quarterbacks. They can move around a little bit, kind of like Manning style, but not exactly the same thing as what Mariota was. So since he's been in the NFL, that hasn't been his system.
Yeah, and Foles was the best at it with the basis system he had, where he still kind of ran a pistol option offense, just less quarterback runs, and that's because Foles can read defense. Well, at least he can go through his progressions, I suppose.
And you have something now, like you talk, like, yeah, the Niners have been terrible, which you don't put all on Blaine Gabbert because you said, name me a good skill player outside of Carlos Hyde. Like, maybe.
Jeremy Curley's been really consistent.
He has been good, but yeah. I mean, one person's going to pop free.
He's the only
offense,
consistent
you know?
Receiver
Your
to get
quote
open.
Your quote-unquote number one receiver didn't get targeted last week. You know what I mean?
He didn't get targeted last week.
Torrey.
Oh, yeah. He's not the number one receiver anymore, though.
Well, he's supposed to be.
But it's also
he's a one-trick pony.
Exactly. But Jeremy Curley, I mean, yeah, he came over. That kind of sheds light on the offense in general, too. The guy hasn't even been with you for a full season. You know, he came over real late, right before the first week, and he's your leading receiver. Yeah, I mean, that's just...
Well, that might say a lot about Torrey Smith, also.
Oh, I'm not talking about him anymore. Yeah. I mean, it's purely on Curley being the leading receiver. But, I mean, also, yeah, Mike.
But even Curley hasn't had more than 823. So he had 827 yards back in 2012. But he's never been, like after that, 523, 409, 152. Like, he's after that season in 2012, he's never had more than the 523 yards. So it's not like he's been killing it. Kamara has been killing it. It might just be one of those things with Curley of just like someone has to get the numbers.
Yeah.
Like someone's going to get, you know, a couple hundred yards after a few weeks. That doesn't mean he's good. That just means he's one of the options on the team. It's kind of the things I talk about with the NBA. It's like the team has to score 80 points. Someone's going to get those points. Not everyone's going to get shut out every week. You're going to score some points.
Exactly.
Someone's going to get those numbers. You know, and Carlos Hyde looks generally good, but everyone else on the offense looks, you know, terrible.
Kaepernick. Yeah, and I think the it's just it's a factor also that, you know, they're like, well, you're not going to – they want to throw the ball weirdly, so they give up these running yards, and then eventually they're like, well, we've seen that you're not going to complete passes on us very often, so run the ball on us, you know, so he gets a lot of touches.
Yeah, so it's – yeah, this just becomes one of those things of, is it the best thing in the world for the 49ers that he's starting? No. Is it the worst? No. It's just going to be one of those things of just like, okay, they're still going to lose games.
Mm-hmm.
Now you try with Kaepernick. If that goes south, then you basically just restart next year,
baby.
Hey, that's what, and I agree with that. I think if Kaepernick does struggle, which I think could happen, and it probably will,
especially because it's not a bad Buffalo defense.
Yeah, but Kaepernick is probably going to get like 5 to 6 weeks of being the starter because we got 5 weeks of Gabbert, and boy, that was rough.
I don't know if it's necessarily something you can straight equate to one another. I think, like I said in the sports show, I think. This is probably a smart decision by Chip Kelly. You know, just try to shake something up.
It was probably the only decision
to make. And Anthony made a good point, too, is he kind of almost takes the responsibility off himself. He said, well, I changed the quarterback position. You know, it's out of my hands now, as far as it can be. You know,
and that's what everyone wanted. Yeah. Everyone wanted that to happen.
Yeah, so at least you're appeasing the fans in that sense. I just think there's so much that – I mean, how much better
honestly,
can it get?
Honestly, the quarterback – it's more than a quarterback for this team. Oh, the whole roster is just – not talented at all. Mm-hmm.
And as far as Chip Kelly goes, like, are you really going to fire the coach for 2 straight years?
Exactly. They know they don't want to do that.
Yeah. After you had Harbaugh, basically Harbaugh won the argument between him and Baalke. Like, he basically won that stuff. So now you're going to fire both Tom Sula and Kelly back-to-back years. Like, that's going to look really bad on the franchise.
You can't do that. You can't do that at all. And getting back to Colin Kaepernick here, last season he played his worst season, and I do think we all agree with that, and he looked terrible. And then Blaine Gabbert came in and played really well. Well, it looks like Blaine Gabbert just couldn't keep that consistency going.
I mean, they lost more players again.
They
at least had a security blanket in a sense with Anquan Boldin, who was there last year, who, you know, Gabbert could find.
I'm surprised that they actually couldn't bring him back.
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe he just didn't want to come back.
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised either. But anyways, it looked like Colin Kaepernick looked like he lost his confidence a little bit last year. And getting back to that Arizona Cardinals game, I think on week 3 or week 2, when he threw like 4 picks. And
he threw
them.
5 interceptions on the year. He had the majority of them in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he shortened the year. You know, he didn't play the
game. Yeah, he played only 8 games.
Quick.
Yeah. So he looked like he lost his confidence because, you know, Harbaugh was gone, who was pretty much his boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Tom Sula ran a totally different offense that didn't really fit Kaepernick's style. And I think with Chip Kelly, I think this is a perfect fit for Kaepernick. I'll have to disagree with you on this, Alex. But to me, when Kaepernick was struggling last year, I think Philadelphia was a good fit for Kaepernick because of Chip Kelly. And then Chip Kelly was a good fit for Kaepernick. So I do think that Kaepernick needs Chip Kelly, and Chip Kelly needs Kaepernick. And I know you disagree with that, but
it purely because of the reasons I told you. Kaepernick is athletic, but that's about it. We've seen him when he doesn't follow through on his reads, he just runs, and that can only get you so far. Put a spy on him. He's not as fast as he used to be. Weirdly enough, he didn't look like he had the burst. He didn't look like he had a lot of these things. I mean, you look at last year, and this is an offense that's still. I mean, it's not far off of what Chip Kelly's offense was. He ran for 256 yards. He only had one score. He had 4 fumbles. He threw for 1,615 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 5 picks. I mean, he did not look good by any stretch of the imagination.
No, he didn't. And I'm not gonna disagree that he did not good, but you can't be that more worse than Blaine Gabbert. And I got something to show you here, man. According to ESPN stats and info, the 49ers have run zone read 99 times this season, three times the next closest team. Their zone run team game has been better with Kaepernick at quarterback. So, for example, since 2012, between Kaepernick and Gabbert, yards per rush, Kaepernick has 4.5, Gabbert has 3.9. And quarterback keep percentage has been 32 with Kaepernick, 19.
What year is that from?
No, this is from yesterday, but it's been since 2012.
So since Gabbert wasn't playing on the Jaguars.
Well, yeah. But still, though.
That's a very skewed stat in my eyes.
But Gabbert did play last season, too, and then he's been using the zone. And then he's been using the zone read this season as well.
Yeah, I know. What I'm saying is Colin, yes, athletically fits the offense. Skillfully, no. He does not have quick reads, which is what this offense is based off of. If the first guy's not open, he's not going to, you know, he's going to surprise me if he can go through two, three more reads, because then he's learned something. And then it comes down to him not being accurate. He's just never really been accurate. The only quarterbacks in the league that I see that are very qualified in terms of their skill set for a Chip Kelly offense is obviously Marcus Mariota. Cam Newton could do it fine.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrod Taylor could do it really well.
Russell
Wilson, obviously. And then it's kind of meh here and there.
I see Aaron Rodgers. I can see Aaron Rodgers doing it.
Aaron probably could, because Aaron's really good at quick reads. But mm-hmm. I mean I'm kind of meaning the athletic but also accurate. And Tyrod could do it well. Marcus for sure obviously could do it really well.
Andrew Luck could probably do it fine enough.
Mm-hmm. You know. Russell Wilson can probably be the best of anybody.
I think maybe Derek Carr can be a good fit too.
Yeah, maybe. But what I mean is funny, it's not any of the quarterbacks on his roster.
Right.
It's not either them.
Well, that's not Chip Kelly's fault. That's Trimbaki's fault right there.
I'm not saying it is. Honestly, I don't think they should have hired him in the first place. They didn't have the personnel for a Chip Kelly-type team. The Eagles had a fast team.
I don't think Trimbaki should have even been there to make the hire.
I don't really like Trimbaki. I feel like he's not a good personnel kind of guy. I mean, there's been people talking about how he's not a great fit there anyway. He kind of likes to control stuff, as we saw with the Harbaugh stuff that came out last season. And the one prior, excuse me. But, no, I mean, they're playing a Bills team, a team that isn't exactly a pushover on defense.
Yeah, they're on, like, a three-game winning streak.
Exactly.
Right,
they're on a hot streak. I don't see them winning this game, and I don't see Kaepernick doing that well. We put an over-under on his, like, yardage, and I think Anthony gave him, like, 200, a little bit over 200 total yardage.
Total?
So rushing and throwing.
Okay, I can see that. Don't get me wrong. My expectations for Kaepernick are not really that high. So, you know, you got to be kind of be real with Kaepernick, so to speak. But I am very interested to see what Kaepernick can do in the Chip Kelly offense. And Colin Kaepernick being the starting quarterback for the 49ers really makes San Francisco the most interesting team in the NFL, in my opinion, because Kaepernick has been in the news with so many stuff about his political views and all that, and he has a chip on his shoulder. So I think a lot of people are going to watch Colin Kaepernick this year because he's been in news so much for other reasons than football. And they're going to, I think, like, for example, imagine if Colin Kaepernick was a star against Arizona last week. People are going to tune in to watch that game. They're not tuning in to watch Blaine Gabbert. They're tuning in to watch Colin Kaepernick.
And not many people tuned in to that game in general.
No, exactly. But if Colin Kaepernick played, more people would have tuned in. The ratings would have been so much higher because Colin Kaepernick makes the 49ers interesting.
Yeah. I mean, tell me this is interesting. 160, 124, 67, 162. Those are yards he threw for last year in games.
No, and I get that, but okay.
I'm not tuning in to watch a quarterback throw for under 200 yards.
He makes the 49ers interesting because of the news surrounding him this year.
I get what you mean by that, but at the same time, if I'm a football team, I don't care. I want you to win me a game.
Exactly.
And a quarterback that's going to throw for 162 yards a game is not going to win me a game. We already saw it with Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, and then I think you said that Chip Kelly should have never been with the Niners in the first place.
I just mean that the personnel doesn't fit his coaching kind of, which I do agree with,
but
it doesn't fit his personnel needs almost.
I do think Kaepernick is someone that can perhaps save Chip Kelly's NFL career, and Chip Kelly can perhaps save Colin Kaepernick's
NFL. Well, I think
NFL
no matter
career.
How the Niners do, I don't see them firing Chip Kelly after this year.
No, they're not.
Made a good point. You can fire two coaches back to back years.
Right. And who are you going to replace him with? There's no one.
Especially because this roster is not very good. So how much can you really put on Chip? You know, he's trying to do as much as he can with this team as it stands. You know, and they obviously were 1-4. They're not doing very well. They're last place. You know, they have the Bills, the Buccaneers, the Saints, and the Cardinals in the next 4 weeks. So
I think the only way Chip Kelly leaves this season, if he gets a college itch again, and which could be a possibility, but I don't see him going back to college this year, maybe after next year.
I mean, there's going to be some good job openings.
Yeah, so unless Chip Kelly gets a college itch again, that's the only way I see Chip Kelly leaving the 49ers.
I understand that. They are currently projected now. The 49ers were 31st in the projection ratings before switching to Kaepernick. Now with the quarterback change, they are 22nd overall. Yeah, I don't see that quite. You know, they have a 4% chance of making the playoffs. Duh. They have a 3% chance of winning the division. And then because they have to put it at any team that is, you know, at that low of a level, they put chance to win the Super Bowl 1%. Yeah, that's not a surprise. So, well, I mean, we'll see how this goes. I mean, like we said, they have a game on Sunday morning against the Bills here local time in San Francisco. It's 10 a.m. So early game. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and getting back to Christian Ponder here, I do think Christian Ponder is going to get some starts this season for the Niners as well, because there's no way they're going with Blaine Gabbert again. And if Kaepernick does struggle, which I think could happen, Christian Ponder is going to be the star probably for the final 5 weeks of the season. And then the Niners are probably going to try to draft a quarterback this spring.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. This is because, okay, unless Kaepernick happens to have a magical season like he did in 2012, no. Which I don't think is going to happen.
No.
Then they proved me wrong. So.
All right. Well, one last thing before we take our first break. Odds are, when you get your odds, just give me a, you know, 1 out of 10 what the odds are on this happening on Sunday. Colin Kaepernick cuts his hair before the start.
No, he's gonna do the cornrows, man. He's gonna braids, man. Man, you cannot cut the fro, man.
Why?
You can't cut it.
Why?
Don't hate Kaepernick because he's a soul brother, man.
He doesn't have to wear a helmet if he has that thing, man. We're talking about on the.
You don't have to worry about concussion.
That's exactly what Ben said.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna take our first break. We'll come back. We're gonna talk for real, and then we'll take a last break and talk Wide Left Wednesday. So we'll do that real quick and come back here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. It is time for real, and we're going to talk about the teams or players that we think are for real or not for real, and Jeremiah is going to start us off.
Yes, so my first for real team, or...
Your only for real team, but the first team and or player that we talk about today.
Yes, it is the Washington Huskies here, and man, they have been on a roll lately, going 6-0, dismantling Oregon 70-21, and before that... Dismantling number 7 at the time, Stanford, 44-6.
Who has fallen quite hard since.
And yeah, Stanford has not been the same team since that game, and they're now out of the top 25.
Yeah.
And
after losing to Washington State this weekend.
I'm going to be honest with you. Washington Huskies were ranked, I think, 14 to begin the year.
14.
And I thought they were a year away from being really good.
You did, yeah.
I did.
You even put them, you mentioned them as a year away, but still a very, very. Soft potential, you know, dark horse candidate.
Yeah. Like, I had Jake Browning as a dark horse Heisman candidate.
You did. And the way he plays, I don't think is good enough, at least this year, for him to get the consideration for the Heisman, but he's definitely playing lights out.
But he is definitely going to be in the conversation this year.
Because yeah, somebody
of,
will mention
because,
him.
Because of his numbers.
And because and of the team's
And the team
wins.
Is good, and mm-hmm. they're in the top five.
Yeah.
But the question I have is Washington for real? And I really do think they are.
Well,
they are for real.
Yeah, I mean, Washington has played really well. I mean, they have benefited. I'm pulling up their schedule real quick.
I'll have the schedule
well,
up.
Well, I'm pulling them up for me. They have benefited, in my opinion, from a week-ish schedule. So week one, they played Rutgers. They tore Rutgers up. Then they played Idaho. Obviously tore Idaho up. You know, who doesn't tear Idaho up? You know what I mean? You know, they beat them 59-14. Then they played Portland State, and they beat them 41-3. Then they finally played an opponent that actually is at least worth something in Arizona, and they'd only won by a touchdown.
That was the toughest test of the whole year.
Exactly. And then they played Stanford, who, yes, they were ranked 7, but they're not – I didn't ever really think they were that great this year. And definitely, I mean, you look at them, they were 7th. They've lost back-to-back to each Washington team, Washington and Washington State. Now they are out of the – you know. And then they played an Oregon team that's nothing like it has been in the past few years. I mean, they walloped them 70-21, but they still played them well.
They didn't just wallop them. They mollywopped them.
Yeah, they did. Oregon State next week. Utah the following week, Cal, USC, Arizona State, and then they finish with the Apple Cup against Washington State. This isn't a very tough schedule.
No,
you
and
know,
I
you look at this, they in my eyes are favored in every single game the rest of the year, even with 21 Utah, regardless of the fact they're ranked or not. This is a number 5 team versus a 21 team. You would assume that they're favored. Cal is not what they were last year. USC's not playing great. Arizona State isn't very great, and then Washington State, those games are always up in the air. I don't think that they're going to lose that game. I think Washington State can still give them issues, you know, but I think Washington's a very good team this year. So I'd probably still give it to Washington, as much of a Washington State fan as I am. None of these teams are very, like, this is a very easy schedule. This is by far the easiest schedule of any team that's currently ranked in the top 5, I would say. So I think they're for real only because they could literally go undefeated this year with the rest of this stretch of games, you know?
Well, I think they're for real because of this offense, and Jake Browne has been playing lights out. Mm-hmm. Miles Gaskins, the running back, has been playing lights out, and the receiving core of John Ross and Dante Pettis has been playing lights out as well. They have 3 receivers right now that over 300 yards, and that is saying a lot. Jake Browne spreads the ball around, and Jake Browne can run a little bit too. He can run a little bit. And going back to the schedule here, it is an easy schedule, I would admit that, but the Pac-12 is not as strong as, I don't think, as you and I thought it was, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, Washington State is in second place at 2-0 in the conference. They're 3-2. Washington, obviously, like we said, is 6-0, and then Stanford, we just talked about how much they've fallen, followed by Oregon State, California, and Oregon within the North, and then, yeah, the South isn't very strong either. I mean, Arizona State's 5-1, but that's not saying a huge amount, you know?
Yeah, and so they are benefiting from a really easy schedule, and it is the easiest out of the top 5, as you said, Alex. Mm-hmm. But because that game later in the year between Michigan, Ohio State,
yeah,
they have to play each other during that rivalry week and the final week of the season, that's going to potentially move Washington up to number 4 to clinch a potential playoff berth. And mm-hmm. I think if this team does happen to make the playoffs, I don't think they're going to do that well.
Yeah, well, they're
really young, and I do think they're a year away from being a championship contender.
So I have 2 things to say that before I bounce it to you, Anthony. I'll get you.
Yeah, oh, no, so someone with Jake Browning, right? Like, he actually has maybe not passing yards the best, but he's 23 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Like,
that's
even
very good.
Even Lamar Jackson can do that.
Yeah.
And Lamar Jackson's setting college football on fire with stuff he's done. So, like,
yeah.
It's one of those things to where, and he's only a sophomore, by the way,
yes.
playing.
Yes, so he is.
He's from this area.
Yeah. He's from this area.
Not far from here.
And
my brother and I really wanted him to go to Washington State. Of course, he went to
Washington.
The one place we just didn't want him to go.
And he has to play next year, so he's going to get a little bit more grooming next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times in college football, one of the reasons why, like, I wouldn't assume they're going to do as well if they make it into the playoffs, because you're going to have to face either Harbaugh, Urban Meyer, if whoever wins that, you're going to have to face Saban, and that's never going to be fun. And then, mm-hmm. you know, however that breaks down, you know, they're probably going to lose. Now, Peterson's
don't forget about Clemson also.
And Clemson, yeah, which, I can't think of his name, Dabo. So,
yes, Dabo Swinney.
You know, you have all those quarterbacks you're going to have to go to who all have won a national title, except for Harbaugh. And, you know, you have a young quarterback who can grow. So, like, I'm kind of with you, next year maybe a little bit better. Peterson, we've seen what he can do over at Boise State. And, you know, I would say they're for real in the sense of I think they're a top 10, top 12 team or whatever, but maybe not top five. Top five seems like one of those. They're going to have a very good chance of winning the national title, and I can't see them beating Harbaugh or anybody like that.
And that's why I can't see this team making a run at the national championship. Like I said earlier before the season started, I do think they're a year away from being the legit playoff contender. Even if they make the playoffs now, I don't see them going very far.
Yeah, well, with what you said about them being a year away kind of earlier this year, a lot of people agreed with you. When they opened the season, they had a 40-1 odds to win the college football playoff. Now they sit at a 6-1, so a lot of people went it that way. And then in relation to their schedule, of the top 10 teams in terms of strength of schedule, it means most impressive victories. Clemson currently sits at 1, Texas A&M at 2, Alabama at 3, Ohio State at 4, Michigan at 5, Tennessee at 6, Wisconsin at 7, and all the way at 8 is Washington. So of the top 10 teams, the fifth team is ranked 8th in terms of strength of their record, how well and how good they've looked in terms of the teams they've beaten. The only two teams worse than them in that aspect is Florida State at 9 and Louisville at 10. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. I think they're for real in the sense of I think they'll keep winning games.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they finish undefeated, but if they happen to go to the playoffs, I think they're going to lose that first game to either Alabama or whoever is going to be ranked number one. It's probably going to be Alabama.
Yeah, let's put it this way. As of right now, it stands. They're fifth, right? You have Alabama at 1. You have Clemson at 2. You have Ohio State at 2. You have Clemson at 3 and then Michigan at 4, right? Say Ohio State beats Michigan and Washington keeps winning. Say Washington moves into the 4th spot. So it's Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Washington. They draw Ohio State. Ohio State's going to run them. Just as we've seen it. Yeah. Ohio State looks like they would just run them.
Yeah, and this is a young squad, too.
It is,
like,
yeah.
This is a young squad, young offense, and that's why I think they're just a year away. Yeah. Right. Well, but they are. But this team is for real now. They are a legit college football team, because you see how they run the table against all their opponents this year. They only one win has been 7 points. The rest of them are double digits. They're running the table a lot.
It's impressive. We'll see how it goes. Okay, moving on for real to you, Anthony. Go ahead.
All right, so, you know, talk about for real. We talk about Jordan Howard, the running back for the Chicago Bears. He's been somebody who recently has been good. You know, he started off kind of slow, 22 yards against Philadelphia, 45 yards against Dallas. Goes pretty well against Detroit and Indianapolis, 111, 118 yards. Even gets you a little bit of receiving yards, got you a touchdown last week. So he's been someone who's recently has been doing pretty well, kind of out of circumstance. They kind of need someone to do well. What's his name? Jay Cutler went down, so you got Brian Hoyer to step in. He hasn't been terrible. The team has been
surprisingly.
The team has been solid enough, right? On offense, you still got Alshon Jeffrey and stuff like that. It's hard. Like, I don't know exactly if Jordan Howard is as good as he should be, because you get somebody like the Indianapolis Colts, who their defense has been terrible. Their whole team, to be honest, has been terrible outside of Andrew Luck, and you get Detroit has, you know, they haven't been a terrible team by any stretch, but at the same time, their defense has been terrible too. So you take those things into account, right? You take into account the teams that they played, the numbers that he has, and while they look very nice and something that you could potentially see going forward, if you look next week with the Chicago Bears, they're going to go against Jacksonville, so he may have another good game, but then he has the Packers, and then he has the Vikings after that. So I think the test will become against the Vikings or even at Green Bay. So it's hard to tell. Like, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think Howard is legit? Do you think he can keep this up? Or
I think he is legit. He's definitely being more productive than Jeremy Langford was this year. And Langford was – he looked like he was slow. He was averaging 3.5 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with you on this aspect. Is he does – his I think his tough – his test comes week 7 against Green Bay on the Thursday night game. Because Green Bay has been really good against the run. And Minnesota, they've just been practically the best
good
defense
period.
In football. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out a lot from Jordan Howard. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has two clunkers in a row against those two defenses. Jacksonville, he's probably going to – I wouldn't be surprised if he has 200 yards in that game. That's just how bad that defense is in Jacksonville. Yeah.
It's interesting to look at. I mean, they definitely have – had a couple games, like you said, that he's had probably the ability to be a little better. I do like him, though. I think he's played well. Jacksonville's defense is very up and down. Sometimes they'll look really good, and sometimes they'll look awful.
They have the potential
they
to
flash,
be good.
Yeah. Like it's a team, just like Washington, we said, it's probably a couple years away, maybe. I mean, you did have them kind of high, but I've always kind of said that I don't think you can have that many young players come at the same time and just mesh and play at such a high level right away. It's definitely like you look at baseball teams, especially with young guys, that grow together, and it's a stronger defense in that sense. I think that they'll have that ability, but I mean, for a fifth round pick, he's been playing very well.
He's been playing really well.
He's come in. He's really done what Langford and Forte did last year in terms of receiving and then more of the rushing yards that Langford had.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think he's going to have another good game against the Jaguars, and then the Packers is going to be a big test because they've been nothing but solid against the run. They've been leaky against the pass, but they've been absolutely great against the run. So that'll be probably his biggest test, I think. And then don't even get me started on the following week with the Vikings. That'll be after the biggest test to date would be the Packers. That one's going to be a tough one for him.
Yeah.
And I think this Bears team will lose that one regardless who's starting a quarterback.
And remember, they're playing Green Bay and Minnesota twice.
Which I just said, yeah, I know. Oh, okay. You mean two more times.
Yeah, two more times.
Yeah, they haven't played either. I thought you meant like back-to-back. I was like,
no.
Yeah, they play the Packers again in November, and then they end the year – I'm sorry, December, and then they end the year off against the Vikings on New Year's Day, as a matter of fact, at 10 a.m. But, yeah, this is going to be a tough stretch for him. Jaguars, we'll see. Packers, Vikings, two of the best teams against the run. I mean, you have one really good team and the other arguably the best defense in the league, and then the Buccaneers can show up every once in a while. So we'll have to see. I mean, as of right now, he's for real.
We'll see
for sure if he's really for real in the next upcoming few weeks.
I think he is for real because of the round he was drafted in, fifth round pick. You don't really expect a fifth round pick to perform that well. And then Bears are getting really good value for him right now.
Yeah, they are. I mean, yeah. Like I said, for a fifth round pick, they're getting a lot of solid value.
And the Bears, their offense has looked better with Brian Hoyer under center.
Yes, it has.
It has looked a lot more better.
I guess you could say that. Yeah. One. Sure. All right, let's move on to the final for real, and I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys, we've mentioned on this team, or excuse me, on the show before, could very easily be a gaffe of a get out of bounds play that wasn't executed by Terrence Williams away from being undefeated. They've won every game since then. They face off against the Packers this week, which should be a good test, especially for running back Ezekiel Elliott and the rookie passer Dak Prescott, because the secondary will be more open for him. There's still a lot of injuries under the secondary there for the Packers, but they're very good, like I mentioned a second ago, against the run, which is obviously a big part of their team with Ezekiel Elliott. They're currently in first place within the division, 4-1. They're first in the league in rushing yards, 155.2 a game. But they're 21st in the league with 241 per game. Their points for, though, are 8th in the league. And currently their points against are 8th in the league as well. 25.8 for them for, and against them is only about 18.2. So they're playing well. I mean, they held the lowest score they had this year was 14, and that was against the Bengals last week. You know, not a bad team. So I think this team is somewhat for real so far. I mean, they have the Packers. It's going to be a good test for them because their defense isn't amazing. You know, it is currently, I don't know what they're ranked, but they're giving up the 8th lowest amount per game. But they have the Packers, the Eagles, the Browns, and the Steelers. Those are four teams, good and bad. The Packers can put up points on their offense. Hasn't been what it is, but their defense has kind of been carrying them. The Eagles' offense has looked good even in their loss last week. The Browns, probably a win. And they face arguably one of the best offenses in football with the Steelers. So these next 4 weeks, just like with Jordan Howard, these next few weeks are really going to tell us whether or not this team can really be for real or not. You know, the way that they're going to look against these more elite teams is what is really important. And then you get to the thing is if, you know, is Romo going to take over?
Right.
Is it going to be Dak? Is Ezekiel going to keep going at this rate he is? Is he going to hit a rookie wall? So it's interesting to me in that sense how this team is going to look maybe this time in the second half of the season, you know, this point in the second half.
Yeah, and Ezekiel has his toughest test against the Green Bay Packers as well this Sunday, who have defended the run really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't have a I looked at this up. They don't have a running back, like the top running back who played. The highest was 39, and that was week one with Jacksonville with Yeldon. He had 39 yards. That's the highest the Packers rush allowed rushing. So something with Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to have to go against that. You know, he has looked tremendous. Every week he's basically gotten better, and this will be one of the biggest tests he's had the whole year.
Yeah. Not to mention, I think they play the Vikings some point this year too.
Yeah.
Yeah, week 13. Yeah. But Tony Romo might be the quarterback by then.
Well, I mean, purely as a rushing team, you know.
Yeah.
This is just, I mean – I think they can be for real, at least in a sense. I mean, it's still Dallas, you know. They could very well go five through this and then lose the next five and be at that 500 spot again.
And this division is so much better, too, than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not untrue. You know, you have the Eagles still 3-1, and I have their bye week. Washington's not far behind at 3-2. We'll see about the Giants 2-3, and then, of course, 4-1 are the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and if the Cowboys stop finding ways to lose like they did week one, then this team will be fine because we've seen how this team is. That's very true. They just can't make those bonehead plays again. Can't do it.
Good call. All right, well, let's take our last break. We're going to come back, and we're going to hit our wide left Wednesday segment, and we're going to get out of here for the day. So we'll be right back here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. All right, so, you know, with our wide left Wednesday, we're going to go with some weird stories. So I'll start off. Ruth Chris Steakhouse, very expensive steakhouse, offered a promotion for Michigan Wolverines. Basically, it was a promotion that whatever the differential was points-wise, that was a discount they would offer to the team. So let's say if they won by 50 points, 50% off. You know, if they won 25-0, 25% off, stuff like that. All that sounded good. You know, you do those things to, like, you know, help people come in, stuff like that, because it's really expensive. You kind of price people out. All right, we're going to do this promotion where we're going to get stuff off. Michigan decides to then win 78-0. Making it a 78% off, which basically made Ruth Chris just lose her mind. Like, oh, God, what did we do? This is not what I thought it was. And basically what they said was, right, look, see, what had happened was we have a what you call a prior commitment where it's basically we're only going to give you 25 or 50% off. So people are mad about it. You know, like, oh, you said da, 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 da.
50% off is still really good.
That's good. Off of Ruth Chris?
It's still really good, but it's one of those things of, like, you lied to me. You said whatever the thing was. I want it to be 101-0, just that way you guys totally lose your mind with the weird math. You know, Jim Harbaugh's told about it. He's like, I'm still going to go because why not? 50%
because
off.
I make a lot of money. Get over it,
Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh actually went to the steakhouse, 100%, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He actually went. It's not the first time this has happened. Like, this happened back in Miami with the Marlins, back when Giancarlo Stanton basically wrecked the home run derby. They had a promotion that was basically just the same thing. It was one of those things of, you know, every home run, that's percentage off of T-Mobile. And then he hit 61 home runs. And the same thing, the Marlins were like, okay, all right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's way too good.
Maybe they should have done that with maybe like D. Gordon.
Someone like that who's not going to do
it. Exactly, right, yeah.
But they did that, and they were like, oh, we said before it was only 25%, which didn't say it in the original thing. You had to like click all these links to finally get to it, stuff like that. It didn't say it in the original post. They basically like, no, MLB has a policy. It's only 25%, which angered people. It's one of those things of,
I'd be upset about that.
People got mad at that, too. It's one of those things of just, like, the promotions department was probably just like, oh, yeah, this is a great idea. And then, like, someone probably in legal was just like, look, I understand you think this is a good idea. Like, this could go really badly.
It's not a good idea.
Yeah, like, we're going to put these little kind of, like, you know, like roadblocks or whatever up in case something goes really south. And that's basically what Ruth Chris said. It was just like, no, 50%. Like,
I'm more than that.
Like, we're not doing all that. We're not giving you like a $100 steak for basically $22. Like,
I'm never going to attempt to even purchase $100.
I'm probably not. And I really think Ruth Chris picked the wrong game to do that promotion.
Yeah, against
Rutgers.
They
picked the wrong game. Like, you couldn't wait until they play, like, a
Rutgers lost
opponent
the week before 58-0 at Ohio State. Like, even if you didn't lose 70-0, it was going to be a bad game.
Very true. Very true. All right, what you got, Jeremiah?
Okay, so the Carolina Panthers went without Cam Newton on Monday night, but, you know, Cam Newton was kind of busy.
Yeah, he was going on his own by himself on
Monday night. And he seems to be progressing well from a concussion protocol, so to speak. So Adam Schefter...
I don't know. It still looks like he's got a bump on his head to me.
So Adam Schefter tweeted on Monday, Cam Newton progressing well from concussion. Proof? Cam is on a Segway-like scooter today in downtown Charlotte, and he is not wearing a helmet, and this has drawn a couple of criticism from people, especially the guys on the Monday Night Countdown and just fans alike. And then Ron Rivera was asked about it, and Ron Rivera said he is an adult and we'll go from there, which it was perfect response. Like,
that's a great response. He's an adult, he can do what he wants.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I think Adam Schefter is even funnier at this point. Like, you should really figure out what kind of scooter it is, man. Try saying a Segway-type scooter really makes you sound old, Schefter. And I love Adam Schefter.
I do too.
But you should have figured it out, man. You can figure out what type of food Tony Romo ate the first day of his back surgery, and you can't figure out what scooter that was? Come on, man.
Come on, man.
But no, I thought the same thing. I saw it, and I was like, dude, for real? Like, you could have picked so many other things that probably would have got you less, like, criticism than that. Like, you could have just went out for a walk. You went on a scooter. I mean,
in traffic.
I mean, wear a helmet.
And
come on.
It is concerning.
I don't care if it's law or not. You just got to.
No, I don't even care. I'm not even talking about the law part. Like, yeah, okay, some say, I don't know if that's one of the states that they don't care about the helmet stuff or like that. It's like,
you're insured for your body. Like, not literally. I mean, you're paid for your body.
Yes.
Protect it, man.
Fine. We just want to yell at Cam Newton, don't we? Like, isn't that basically the thing? Like,
sometimes
we just want to yell at Cam
Newton. I want to yell at Cam Newton because of the way he got hurt. What you walking in the end zone for, dummy? Like, you're clearly on a football field.
Yeah, but he's a quarterback. He has that whole, like, mindset of just, like, I can do what I want.
Cam Newton don't.
Cam Newton, no, he gets hit.
We
saw
against
one or two or whatever, where he got hit like hard all the time.
Yeah, and that's another
thing. He
was borderline concussion every game this year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, he's shaved off a couple years of his brain.
Yeah.
In this year alone.
Like, the whole thing with the Segway. Like, if you want to yell at him for like having a possible concussion still and riding without a helmet, cool, I got you. If you just want to yell at him because, like, he didn't, like, walk down the street in a bubble, like, I'm not – no, I can't do that with you.
No, I'm not going to get on that level. Purely, it's – you're doing something, quote-unquote, dangerous-ish. You know, at least be smart about it. Not literal dangerous,
and you were coming from a head injury. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's a long way
to
fall.
That's the thing. If it was that, if you talk about the head injury.
Yeah.
It's just silly.
Come on, man. Your team needs you, man. I know you guys are 1-4, but come on. Your team needed you.
Well,
he
can't do anything about it there. He's like, he's not playing. He's just like, is going wherever he's going. Maybe he's getting groceries. I don't know.
And also, why are you riding a scooter, bro?
Yeah.
That part's weird.
Can't you, like, don't you?
You're too big for a scooter.
It's like 6'6 or something. He's a giant dude.
Yeah, I was telling you, that's a long way to fall.
That is.
He looks kind of awkward on it a little bit. It looks like he's. His back is bent.
I haven't looked at it.
He's not really the prototype for those Segways. It's more of like a 5'10" guy.
Yeah, he's kind of almost exactly the opposite of that.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, I guess, but it is definitely a funny looking little scooter, if you ask me.
I know. I thought the picture was kind of fake. I didn't think it was like, that can't be Cam Newton, and it was.
Oh, no.
It was.
I mean, when I read it, I was like, why am I not surprised? Cam Newton does weird stuff like that all the time. Anyways, let's get to the last bit of information. And he looks so gigantic on that. That's a weird scooter.
Yeah.
He's so tall. He's like taller than like trucks on the road. And you can tell that's him because of the dumb hat he's wearing.
Yep, exactly. That's how I figured out. I'm like, oh, that is Cam Newton because of that hat.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the hat.
Anyways, so this weekend, Tyrod Taylor, the quarterback for the Bills, is playing quarterback. He's in shotgun, and it looked a little funny, you know, at least to a regular person. It might look normal. You know, you had two linemen to the left, three to the right. You're like, oh, tight end to the right. You know, regular type deal. Well, you guys know what tackle eligible kind of formations are. You have tackle over, so it's, you know, boom, boom, boom. On the third one side, it's guard, tackle, tight end, or guard, tight end, tackle. Well, this time, he lined up behind the guard. He was in shotgun. He lined up literally where it looked like the center, other than the center having the ball one lineman to the right in his hand, clearly. But Tyrod Taylor lines up in shotgun. I've never seen it in shotgun. I've seen it in, like, lining up under the center and, like, under center, you know, but under the guard. And it was funny. I forget who it was, and he did it. And the guard's like, what are you doing? You know, he's like, stop. What is that? But he lined up in shotgun with the running back to his left, right behind the guard. He's quoted as saying, the sun got in my eyes. This is his excuse that often works, but I don't know. Just snap, ball went right past him, fumble. I think he got the ball back, threw it away, I think, too. But
I imagine, like, the film room after that, like, when they're going over the film.
Oh, you know they're going to make fun of him for
that. Oh, and they won the game, so fine, cool. You know, it's not going to be that bad of a thing. That's going to be one of those things. It was just like you can imagine Rex Ryan just basically being like, What is that? Why? What do you? How do you not know where to go? And then they just give him crap because they won the game. And it's like, it's fine. Just never do that again. If you do that again, I will bench you.
Rick's probably had a day with that.
Oh, I'm sure he's making fun of him. I'm sure he's using the whole week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
They're going to use it the entire week.
You know what? Tyrod Taylor is lucky they won that game because he would have got even
– It would have got
more attention.
The teams that play the Bills game plan for it now. They're like, okay, he's going to pretend to line up behind the guard to fool you. Don't bite.
Like the Niners are probably game planning for it right now.
Yeah. They're like, listen, Kaepernick, maybe line up behind the guard this week.
Yeah, it might work. It might work.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. All right, so that was all we had for you today. Tomorrow we'll be back. We're going to preview the Thursday night football game. It's going to be a blazer this week.
It's actually a pretty good matchup.
Denver-San Diego.
I actually like it, yeah.
Yeah, should be okay. We'll watch it. We'll preview that one for you. Of course, we'll hit our final drive that Jeremiah loves so much.
The final drive.
We're going to talk about all the news that slipped between the cracks of episodes this week. And, of course, we will have any information for you that rises up between now and then, of course, as always. But until then, we'd like to thank you for listening. As always, we'll be back tomorrow, the three of us, because we're that awesome. But anyways, we would like to thank you for listening. As always, I'm Alex.
I'm Jeremiah.
And I'm Anthony.
And we will see you guys tomorrow. Enjoy some football if there's any to watch, maybe some NFL replays, maybe some game replays, whatever you like. Play some Madden, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.